And yet, Father, the truth that we look at this morning is truly beyond us, and yet you give it that we might understand you. Please help us in our weakness and smallness to do that. Father, we commit the time to you. Our desire truly is to bring glory to you, our great God. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can open your Bibles to the book of Psalms. And we'll start this morning in Psalm 96. Psalm 96. Take a few weeks away from Romans chapter 6. I promise you we'll be back to Romans chapter 6, but sometimes God would direct us in another direction, and that's the case this morning. So we begin this morning with Psalm 96, and we'll get there in just a moment. When I thought about speaking this morning, I had something planned earlier in the week, and yet God pressed me in another direction. And perhaps it was the ministry of the week, the ministries that are coming up, I'm not sure. And yet we do go in this direction this morning. And I am desperately reminded of a need to recall why we exist. You know, sometimes it's very helpful for us to move out of the details of life and sit quietly and communicate with God and think of big things. You know, it's very easy to get wrapped up in the smaller details of life. And they're all important, and we'll see why in a moment. But yet to think of the big picture, the big plan that God has for us. And so we desperately need reminders of why we exist and why we live and why we do what we do. There is a real part of us that would move us to think that everything in us and around us is about us. In other words, we can be easily moved to think and to live like we are the center of the universe. Now, we may not think it that way. We may not use those words. But there's a part of us that moves us to think that life is about us. It's about me. It's about you. It's about my family. It's about my children. In other words, our focus becomes us. And folks, if we think that way, or if we entertain that thought, then we could be no further from the truth. In the middle of a very busy summer of ministry, at the end of a challenging week of Vacation Bible School, in anticipation of a very important ministry that we call the International Giveaway, looking with eagerness to the people and the challenges and the blessings and the difficulties of life and ministry in the upcoming months, I would simply ask this question this morning: why? Why do we take the gospel to the nations? And why do we share Jesus in this community? And why do we serve in Sunday school, in prayer meeting, in discipleship, in fellowship, in college ministry, in teen ministry, in kids ministry, and the list can go on. Why do we do these things at Faith Baptist Church? Why do we exist? What is our ultimate purpose? Do you see what I mean? Sometimes it's good to step back or to sit back and to ask bigger questions. And there's nothing wrong with asking questions like, where will we get our, what flavor ice cream will we have tonight at the closing program? Or where will we get our food for the giveaway? Or how many people can I meet with this week in discipleship? I mean, those are questions and those are things that need to be done. But oh, how important it is to step back and to quiet ourselves and to ask the big questions. Is there a bigger question than why do we exist? Is there a bigger question than what is our purpose? I mean, why do we do what we do? And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ this morning, if you're growing in Christ, if you're in the Word of God, if you're being sanctified by the Spirit of God through the Word of God, frankly, you know the answer. You know the big answer of why we exist and what is our ultimate purpose and what why do we do what we do? And the answer is to bring glory to God. To bring glory to God. Our purpose is to worship and honor and praise and treasure and glorify God. And so whether it be missions or Sunday school or discipleship or times of prayer or kids ministries or college ministries or teen ministries, they all exist because worship does not exist. And what I mean by that is this, that our goal then is to reach people and to teach people to worship and honor and treasure and glory in God. Because folks, there is a world of people who don't. And when this age is over and all the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God and the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, think about this. Missions and Sunday school and discipleship and prayer meetings and college ministry and teen ministry and all those things that we're involved in, teaching and preaching and sharing, will be no more. Because they're all temporary. But worship and honor and praise and glory to God will last forever. Forever. And therefore, worship or giving glory to God is not only the destination of ministry, but it's also the fuel of ministry. It's the energy of ministry. Someone said that we will not commend what we do not cherish. And as I read that statement and I thought about that, how true it is and how convicting it is. We will not commend what we do not cherish. You see, when the flame of worship burns with the heat of God's true value and God's true worth, then the light of ministry will shine. And it will shine in the darkest places. And folks, this is true of our individual lives, and this is true of our church life. Churches and individuals who are neutral in ministry are in fact neutral for God. because something or someone has taken the place of God. And when something takes God's place, it is impossible to proclaim His glory to the nations or to our neighbors. Now, I ask you this morning, is it possible to be distracted from God in trying to serve God? Is that possible? Yes, it is. It happens all the time. It's a daily challenge, frankly, that we can get so busy in serving God that we miss God. We can get so busy and wrapped up in serving God that we actually lose sight of God and our closeness with God. Like Martha in the Gospel of John, we neglect the one thing needful and soon begin to present God as busy and fretful, just like we are. A.W. Tozer said it this way. He said, "We commonly represent God as a busy, eager, somewhat frustrated father, hurrying about, seeking help to carry out his plan to bring peace and salvation to the world." And folks, in the lives of many Christians, in the fellowship and the meeting of Christians, in the public worship of many Christians, God is not seen as He truly is. And He is unwittingly belittled by His own people. In truth, God is a God of overwhelming greatness and glory. And folks, that's not declared in a man-centered, self-centered worship or entertainment or psychology or therapy or practical how-tos of many churches today. Many churches, many Christians are out of touch with reality, and that reality is that there is a God of incomprehensible, magnificent, amazing glory. Look at Psalm 96, verse 4. Psalm 96, verse 4. The psalmist cries out in this simple statement, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods." Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. I would submit to you this morning that this is the lifeblood of ministry to our neighbors and to the nations. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. This is the lifeblood of our lives. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. You see, God is the absolute reality that everyone in the universe must come to terms with. Everything depends utterly on Him and His will. All other realities compared to God are like a raindrop in the ocean, or like an ant on Mount Everest. God is the reality of the universe, and to ignore God or to belittle God is foolishness and folly. In our vacation Bible school this week, we were learning day after day how we might gain wisdom. Very clearly, wisdom comes by hearing and what, kids? Doing the Word of God. Hearing and doing the Word of God. And yet, foolishness abounds in this world to those who ignore God, to those who turn away from God, to those who reject God because they are rejecting the ultimate reality of the universe. The most valuable, highest, amazing. I mean, you could just go on with these adjectives about God, these words that describe Him. And to ignore Him is foolishness. And therefore, As we think about big things, as we think about the big picture of life and ministry and work and who we are and why we exist, we must understand clearly that God is ultimate. And all of history is moving toward one goal, one great goal, and that is the worship of God and the glory of God. And not only is the chief end of man to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, but the chief end of God is for God to glorify Himself. Turn to Isaiah chapter 48. Isaiah chapter 48. And look at verses 9 through 11. Isaiah chapter 48. Verses 9 through 11. And God says through the writing of Isaiah, look carefully. He says, "For my name's sake, I will defer my anger, and for my praise, I will restrain it from you, so that I do not cut you off. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. For my own sake, I will do it. For how should my name be profaned, and I will not give my glory to another?" And folks, these words are like a hammer to our man-centered way of living. Do you see it in this passage? "For my name's sake," God says. "For the sake of my praise," He says. "For my own sake, how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another." You see, God's goal then is to display and uphold His glory to all the universe forever. Do you see why I say these are big things? I mean, I ask you this morning, I ask myself as I reviewed these truths, how often do I think about this? How often does this run through my little mind and my little brain that God's goal for me is to glorify Him and to do that forever and ever and ever and ever? That my purpose of existence is to bring glory to Him. And see, these reminders force me then and move me back to look at my life and to look at my actions and to look at my words and to look at my thoughts and to ask myself, am I glorifying God when I do this? Am I glorifying God when I say this? Am I fulfilling my purpose in life when this situation comes before me and I respond in this way? Will this show the world? Will this show my family? Will this show my neighbor that God is the greatest person in my life and He is of the greatest value to me? You see, we can truly live in that purpose. That's why God made us. For His sake. For His praise. And so are we right when we say this? Is this what the Bible says? And so what I'd like to do with our time this morning is simply move in a summary fashion to this ultimate purpose of God in all of history and existence. And I know this will be different than what we would normally do on a Sunday morning. But I want you to consider, and by the way, this is not all, but I want you to consider 20 statements. This is not a 20-point sermon. 20 statements from the Word of God that declare His purpose. Statement number one, God chose His people for His glory. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1 and look at verses 4 through 6. We've put the scripture on the screen, but please turn in your Bibles to that. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. Statement number 1 is this: God chose His people for His glory. The Apostle Paul writes and he says, "Just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He has made us accepted in the Beloved." Look at that, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Same chapter, the Apostle Paul says in verses 12 through 14, same chapter, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, to the praise of His glory. God chose His people for His glory. Here's statement number 2. God created us for His glory. Look at Isaiah chapter 43, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah 43, verses 6 and 7. God created us for His glory. And again, God is speaking here. Isaiah writes it, and notice he says, "I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory. I have formed him. Yes, I have made him." God created us for His glory. Statement number 3. God called Israel for His glory. Isaiah 49, verse 3. And Isaiah writes, "And He said to me, 'You are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified.'" God called Israel for His glory. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 11. Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 11. "I may test your quickness in looking up scriptures, because we have many." Jeremiah chapter 13, verse 11. "For as the sash clings to the waist of a man, so I have caused the whole house of Israel and the whole house of Judah to cling to me, says the Lord, that they may become my people for renown, for praise, and for glory. But they would not hear." Statement number 4. God rescued Israel for His glory. Psalm 106, verses 7 and 8. Psalm 106, verses 7 and 8. The psalmist writes, "Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, He saved them for His name's sake, that He might make His mighty power known." God rescued Israel for His glory. Statement number 5. God raised up Pharaoh to show His power and glory. And we know when we speak about Pharaoh, Scriptures talk about him, takes us back to the book of Exodus. But Romans chapter 9, verse 17, the Apostle Paul in those chapters talking about the sovereignty of God. God raised up Pharaoh to show His power and glory. And Paul says in Romans chapter 9, verse 17, "For the Scripture says to Pharaoh, 'For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth.'" Isn't that an amazing statement? When you really think about that, God raised up this pagan ruler of Egypt for this purpose, that he would show his power through this unbelieving ruler. Really puts it in the right perspective when we think of presidents and rulers and congresses and prime ministers and kings on this earth today. Number six, God defeated Pharaoh to show his glory. And we go back to Exodus chapter 14, verse 4 and verse 18. Exodus 14, verse 4 and verse 18. In verse 4, Moses writes, then, this is God speaking, "Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart, so that he will pursue them, and I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. Verse 18, "And then the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gained honor for myself over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen." God defeated Pharaoh to show his glory. Number seven, God spared Israel for the glory of his name. And we go to Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 14. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 14. You know, it might be easier to write these references down and just look at the screen as we read them. You can go back to them later. Ezekiel chapter 20, verse 14. "But I acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out." God spared Israel for the glory of his name, for his name's sake, he says. Number eight, God saved Jerusalem from attack for the glory of his name. 2 Kings chapter 19, verse 34. God says, "For I will defend this city to save it for my own sake and for my servant David's sake." For his own sake, he saved Jerusalem from enemies. Number nine, God restored Israel from exile for the glory of his name. We find that in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 22 and 23. And Ezekiel writes, "Therefore say to the house of Israel," God speaking to him, "Thus says the Lord God, I do not do this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which you have profaned among the nations wherever you went, and I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, which you have profaned in their midst, and the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when I am hallowed in you before their eyes." God restored Israel from exile for the glory of his name. Statement number 10. Jesus sought the glory of God his Father in all that he did. John chapter 7, verse 18. Jesus said, "He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him." He seeks the glory of the one who sent him. Jesus sought the glory of God the Father. Number 11, Jesus told us to do good works so that God gets the glory. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So now do you get an idea of why VBS, why International Giveaway, why these ministries? Do good works that you might glorify your Father in heaven. Statement number 12, Jesus answers prayer that God would be glorified. John chapter 15, verses 7 and 8. Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. Number 13, Jesus suffered for God's glory. Look at John 12, 27 and 28. Jesus said, now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. And then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Number 14, God instructs us to do everything for His glory. Is that possible? Is it possible? We have a command before us. Yes, it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I hope you're beginning to get the point of our purpose, the reason of our existence. And Paul reminds us that even in the simplest things of everyday living, even in the most mundane things of what we will eat or what we will drink, we can bring glory to God. And we must bring glory to God. Number 15, God tells us to serve in a way that glorifies Him. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, I love this verse. Peter writes and he says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers or serves, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Number 16, all are under judgment for dishonoring God's glory. And Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 1, verse 22 and 23, when he writes, professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Judgment comes because man has disregarded the glory of God. Number 17, Jesus is coming again for the glory of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, and the Apostle Paul writes and he says, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power when He comes in that day to be glorified in His saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. An amazing statement. Even as Jesus comes, He comes for the glory of God. Statement 18. Jesus' aim for us is that we see and enjoy His glory. John 17, 24, He prays and He says, Father, I desire that they also whom You gave Me may be with Me where I am, and that they may behold My glory which You have given Me, for You loved Me before the foundation of the world. Number 19, God's plan is to fill the earth with His glory. Habakkuk 2:14. Look carefully. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters of the sea. And then number 20. Everything is for God's glory. Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 11, verses 33 to 36. And he says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? Or who has first given to him and it shall be repaid to him? For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Astounding. Of him, through him, and to him are just a few things. All things. All the things we like. Is that the things we don't like? Is that the hard things? Is that the easy things? Is that the things that bring suffering? Is that the things that bring gladness? All is all. All for the glory of God. Folks, the evidence is overwhelming. And see, it's a truth that we know. It's a truth that's there in our thoughts and in our hearts. And yet, do we think about it? Do we process it? Do we contemplate it? Do we meditate on this truth that all is for the glory of God? All. Jonathan Edwards said it this way. He said, the great end of God's works, which is so variously expressed in Scripture, is indeed but one. And this one end is most properly and comprehensively called the glory of God. Now, what does all that mean for us today? Many, many things. But let me mention two. God is calling us above all else to be the kind of people whose purpose and passion is the glory of God in all of life, every part of life. And number two, no one will pray or suffer or serve or proclaim the gospel with zeal and endurance who does not see nor understand our purpose, which is to bring glory to our great God. There'll be no passion to share the worship or declare the glory of God where there is no passion for God. And therefore, this morning, therefore, in our lives as the people of God, let our affections be in line with God for His glory. Because if we do this, then God's all-powerful commitment to His name will be over us like a banner and will be before us like a shield and will be before us like a sword. And He will protect and He will provide and He will guard. And whatever comes before us comes through the hands of God, that we might glorify Him. Amen. And honor Him and show that He truly is the greatest value and greatest person and highest person in the universe. And we end then with Revelation chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Revelation chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. And there in that book of Revelation, where the Lord Jesus Christ, by His great mercy, gave John glimpses into the future. Revelation chapter 15, verses 3 and 4. Look carefully what is said. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. You alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before Him. Why do we exist? Why do we do what we do? What is our purpose? The glory of God. Let's pray. Oh, Father, how we truly need reminders. It is so easy to go our own way. Father, it is even easy to go a way that we think is yours, we know is yours, and yet lose sight of you. God, help us. Protect us. God, by your Spirit and through your Word, keep our eyes open. Keep our ears clear, that we might see you and hear you and learn more and more of you. God, help us. Help us, O God, to have a desire, to have this passion for you. Father, we realize that this is a gift from you, that we in ourselves cannot do this. And Father, it takes first of all a new life, a spiritual life, a life that has been brought into being by you. God, we need it. Thank you for the spiritual life that you give us through Jesus Christ. But oh God, thank you that it continues, and that you've given us all and everything that we need for life and godliness. We praise your name. And God, may we be continually reminded of our purpose. And God, keep us from the pull of the world around us. Keep us from the pull of the sin within us. And God, help us to be people by our lives, words, actions, all that we do, all that we say, clearly declare your glory, your greatness to the world around us. Thank you, Father, for the opportunities to do that right here. We praise you. Thank you. And ask God, if there's anyone here today who does not know you through Jesus, that today would be that day. For your glory, through Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen.